Hey, thanks for listening to the Harvest Time Podcast. We hope today's message helps you know God in a real and powerful way.
So glad that you're in church today. Man, it really is a big deal to us. If this is your first time, I just want to welcome you once again and just say thank you so much for being here. It's a big deal that you would choose to come and worship with us, with your family. And man, I would love the opportunity to get to meet you. We would love just to get to say hi. And so if you get a chance, before you leave, seriously, stop out by the Connect Corner. It's on the left in the main lobby there as you exit. It's a great spot. We got a little gift for you if it's your first time, and we just want to say hi and just, excuse me, just give you a thank you for being with us today. excuse me, sorry. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be by there here in just a moment as we continue in our series on the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you have been here for 3 consecutive weeks. If so, we call that a streak, okay? 3 consecutive weeks, because this is really one of those series that's kind of like building blocks. And if you miss a week, man, you may feel left behind or left out on some things, and you may go, wait a second, what? It really does kind of progress as we go. And so if you haven't been here all 3 weeks, I highly encourage you after today to go back and listen to the previous weeks, just to kind of get some framework for what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, and it is a person. It's the third person in the Trinity, the Spirit of God, who is active and at work in our lives. We believe in Him in the same way that we believe in God the Father and God the Son. Amen? We believe that the Holy Spirit is the arm of God, the active Spirit of God at work in our lives and in the world. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a little bit about that. And last week, we talked about that because of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and because He ascended to the Father, and because now His blood doesn't just cover sins, but it washes them away. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon us, as it did in the Old Testament, but rather He lives within us. And we have access to Him and His power every single day. And what that does is the whole purpose of the sending of the Spirit is that He is our helper. Y'all remember that? Some of you needed His help this week. Can I get a big amen? Come on, if any of you leaned on the helper this week, can I just see? Hey, me too. Hey, good job, guys. I did too. I needed the help of the Holy Spirit this week. And so we talked about that helper and what He helps us to do. If you remember, we kind of boiled it down to one simple phrase, and it was this, that baptism in the Holy Spirit equips the believer with supernatural power for what? For witness and ministry in the world. Come on, let's say that together. For witness and ministry in the world. That is why He came. That's why He dwells inside of us. It's because His power and His presence is in us, and it's equipping us and helping us to live lives of witness and to help us to do His work and His ministry in the world. And if you really look back at the initial coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in the book of Acts chapter 2, we can see that this is kind of how it began, and we can kind of take that as a sign, as a kind of set a precedent for why He came. Because if you remember, the gatherers, the followers of Jesus, were sent, and they said, hey, stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high, because I'm going to send you this helper, and so stay here and wait. What was going on in Jerusalem at that time? It was the Feast of Pentecost, right? It was the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, and so the Feast of this Harvest. And so they were waiting there, but it wasn't just them. There were people from all over the region that had traveled and converged in that spot. They were there to celebrate. And so there were people from all over the region. And then when the Holy Spirit came, it came with some significant, incredible signs. It says there was like a wind, like a rushing mighty wind. And then there were cloven tongues of fire, like a flame of fire over tops of their heads. And then they began to speak, the people there began to speak in a different tongue, a different language than what they knew. And Luke, the writer of Acts, records this in Acts chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Isn't that incredible? And look, all these people from all of these different regions, these different areas, different dialects and languages began to hear people speak in their native tongue. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue?" What a miracle of God. Verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, look what they said. "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." That's incredible. All of these people have gathered in this place for this feast, and the Spirit of God has poured out. These people begin to speak in a language that they've never even been taught. And what they are speaking is the wonders and the glory of God in these other languages. And people hear and they go, these people are speaking the glory of God, the wonders of God. They're declaring, they're testifying of God in a language that they've never even learned before. This is an incredible miracle. It's a supernatural miracle. And what happens because of that is 3,000 people come to this faith in the person of Jesus Christ. 3,000 people who get saved. And what happens to all of those people that heard that and were saved and were baptized that had traveled there for that festival? What happened? They all went back to their homes carrying with them the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all. Now all you got believers in all these different areas. And this is the epicenter and the birth of the New Testament church from that moment where it began to spread. What a powerful miracle and supernatural outpouring of God's Spirit. And we see the purpose behind it. Why? To equip believers to be a witness and a ministry in the world. We see the heart of God in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the testimony of Jesus and the good news of the gospel would spread to every single corner of the world. Can I just tell you, that is still the heart of God today? It is still the heart of God today that believers would be filled with His Spirit and would carry it with them everywhere that they go, testifying of the good news of Jesus. That is still the same Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Is the same Spirit that lives inside of you and me. And He has the same purpose and the same mission. And that is to make Jesus and to make the promise of heaven through Jesus Christ known throughout the world. So we see this right there in the beginning. We see that the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is really this. And so the New Testament church began and it really began to take off. And as it did, there were more and more of these spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts, like this tongues and interpretation thing that was happening. There was more and more of this that began to happen. There was more of these manifestations that began to happen in the early church and begin to see things like prophecy and healing and miracles and faith and generosity and all of these different gifts that the early church began to operate in. And we see that they were all empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he's writing to the church, and he's telling them, giving them a little bit of just some understanding around it. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And then look what he says starting in verse 4 here. He begins to do some teaching. He says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want you to remember that scripture. We're going to come back to it. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So as the Apostle Paul's writing, he's saying, listen, the same Spirit that is inside each and every one of us is the one who distributes these gifts and empowers believers with these supernatural things to be able to walk out this Spirit-filled life. And the gifts are different and they vary and He distributes them. But man, they are all important and they all come back to and point to the same one Spirit where they all originate, and that is in the Spirit of God. Now, I believe without a doubt that the Spirit of God is still at work today. I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit still has the same mission and desire today, that He's still distributing gifts as He sees fit today, that He is still using ordinary people like you and me today. Man, I'm thankful for that. I believe today that His goal is still that every person know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and has new life for them. And that He testifies of that. He uses me and you and empowers us with gifts to be able to testify and to minister and to help and to reach those that are far from God. We are all different. We are all that. Romans 12:6 says this: we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, if you'll leave that scripture up for just a moment, there are two words there I want to just point out: the word gifts and the word grace. Because these two words, while different in the English, aren't very far apart at all in the Greek. One is charisma, the other one is charis. And one means gifts, and the other one kind of means grace. And so really, if you read this, what it says is that we are all given a grace gift from God. We all have different gifts that God has graced us with and that He has given us, and that they're that God has given us. And it doesn't depend on you. That you didn't do anything to earn it. That you can't, you don't have to serve Jesus for 50 years and then you finally grandfather into getting some gifts from the Holy Spirit. That's not how this works. This is a grace gift from God. And part of it is just the way that you are intrinsically designed, that He knit you together and He formed you and He's put different gifts within us, and we're created differently. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm glad we don't look alike. I'm glad my wife doesn't look like me. I'm glad that she has different strengths than I have. I'm glad that she balances me out and she's created differently than me. I'm so thankful for some of you and the gifts and the strengths that you have. And God will use those design gifts and He'll use those ways that He created you uniquely with the Holy Spirit that will amplify those, and you will be a gift to the people around you, to the church, and to the world. But then there are other times where there's this manifestation gift that He may empower you to do something that is honestly completely outside of your nature. He may give you a supernatural ability to do things that you are not naturally very good at. If you look at this in Scripture, you see Peter, who's not naturally bold. We see that at the crucifixion of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he's supernaturally bold. But then we see the Apostle Paul, who's naturally, obviously, a great teacher and learner because his entire life he studied the law and he was a great, great Jew, like perfect, had everything down. And then he comes to Christ and he uses that natural gifting in his life to instead of persecuting and oppressing to begin to teach and to become an apostle and to spread the good news of Jesus. And so we see the natural giftings paired with supernatural giftings. See, God's grace is given to us. And it is our responsibility and it is our opportunity as believers to discover and to develop and to deploy the gift of God in our life. To discover what gifts the Holy Spirit has placed inside of us. And to develop that and walk in obedience and use those things for the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. And to deploy those and to be open-handed and to allow the Spirit of God to move through us. See, I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. And I'm glad that both of us are excited about that today. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. Thank you very much. Because I don't know about you, I enjoy getting gifts. When Christmas comes around, listen, I was sitting around the tree. Can you imagine if everyone got a gift except for you? That would be a pretty stinky Christmas. Like everyone gets one except for me. What in the world? I must have been terrible. Right? But the beauty of it is that God doesn't leave anyone out. The Spirit of God lives inside of anyone, and that is a gift. But He has gifts for us that He wants to use in us, that He wants to help us and develop and deploy those things. And they're for every single believer. This is what is said in Acts chapter 2. As Peter is preaching, he says this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will, everyone say, you will. Not maybe, not if you fulfill all these stipulations, not after a few years or once you start living perfect. No, look what it says. It says, if you receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And look what it says, that this promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are what? Far off. Guys, that's you and that's me. Because Peter wasn't talking to us, we weren't there that day, our kids weren't there that day, but this is for me and it's for you. We are the ones who are far off. We're 2,000 years after this, but it says this is for anyone whom God will call. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful that when I was far from God, that when I was lost in my sin, that I was helpless, that He called my name and He left the 99 in pursuit of me. And I am one that He came and He rescued and He set my feet on a brand new path. He gave me a brand new life that I get to live, and because of that, this promise of the Holy Spirit is for me too. Because God called me, and if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you confessed your sins and you are one with Him, guess what? He called you too. And that means that this promise is for you. It's for every believer. That's why it says that He's going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. It doesn't matter if you are red, yellow, black, and white. It doesn't matter if you are old or if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if you cut your teeth on the back of a church pew or if this is your very first day here. It doesn't matter. Any of those things, they don't matter. They don't qualify you. Only thing you need is the blood of Jesus covering your life. And if that is the case, then the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. And the promise of the Holy Spirit wants to work in you and has gifts for you to make a difference in this world, to advance the kingdom of God. He said He'll pour His Spirit out on all flesh. Now, I believe that there are many Christians today, many of us today, let's just make it personal and get real, okay? Who have stiff-armed the Holy Spirit, who have gifts that are dormant and unopened in our lives. Maybe it's because of insecurity, maybe it's because of fear, maybe it's because we just haven't even opened them or recognized them, or maybe it's lack of obedience. Maybe it's because this whole subject has just kind of freaked us out a little bit. And so we have just stiff-armed. But over and over and over throughout the New Testament writings, what we see the apostles say is, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. But rather it says, desire. Desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Desire this. And so I just want to encourage you. I just want you to know there's a gift for you. There are gifts that God has for you that the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through your life. And I just want to pause today and to say, if you have kept the Holy Spirit at arm's length, and if you've been fearful even of what it means to walk and live with the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your life, opened in your life and ready for Him to use, then I just want to give you an opportunity and just encourage you and say, hey, if God has given a gift, you can bet that it is good. It is good. So open it and use it because it is good. The gifts of the Spirit are for every believer, and the gifts of the Spirit, thank the Lord, are unified in their diversity. Now, they're very different. The gifts of the Spirit vary. They're very, very different. And there's these strengths and natural abilities that God has created and born with, and that His Spirit amplifies those things in our life and empowers us to do those things even at a supernatural ability. But then there's also things that He gives us that are just not in our natural ability. It's not in our natural bend. And they're very diverse, but they're all also very, very necessary. And they're unified. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. See, the Spirit of God is diverse, but it is also unified in its diversity. So it's kind of like this. I got this toolbox here, and I'll be honest, this is not my toolbox. I borrowed it from our maintenance closet just before church. And I will return it so that I don't get screamed at this week whenever people need something and they're like, where is that screwdriver? All right, I get it. I'll return it, Robbie. Don't worry. So we have this toolbox, and inside of this toolbox there are various different tools. And they're all created for unique purposes. In this tool I've got a screwdriver. That's useful, right? Yeah, I've got a screwdriver. And then I also have in here, this is another screwdriver. Now, why would I need two screwdrivers? Because this one, according to my wife, this is the plus and this is the minus. Okay? And unfortunately, when my kids come over, my boys come like, Dad, where's the plus screwdriver? I'm like, son, we're gonna pretend like that didn't just happen. You are looking for the Phillips screwdriver, okay? So, ladies, this is the plus and the minus. Gentlemen, we know the truth. So this is the Phillips and the flat. And the thing is that why would I need two different? Because these are unique in their design, but it's because they have unique purposes and tasks that they perform. And no matter how good of a screwdriver this flat screwdriver is, or how good of a screwdriver this Phillips screwdriver is, they are uniquely designed to do the task for which they were created. And even if it's really good, if it's not the right one for the job, then it's not going to help me very much. And so the thing is that in the body of Christ, there are unique and different gifts. And there are situations and there are moments where these gifts are necessary, and God needs people that He created, that He gifted, to step into their God-created and gifted design so that the mission can be accomplished. See, the tools that are in the toolbox, the gifts of the Spirit, are all unique, but they are all mission critical. Have you ever gotten in the middle of the project and you did not have the tool that you needed to complete the project? What happens to the project? It comes to a standstill.
Because if you don't have the right tools, the mission can't be accomplished. Can I tell you today that the gifts of the Spirit in your life are God-given, God-designed, and they are mission critical for the mission He has given us in this world. The gifts of the Spirit in this life, you are uniquely designed, and the gifts are uniquely designed for the purpose that God has created them for. And unless we as believers open up the gifts of God in our life and begin to use them the way that they were designed to be used, the mission of God and the advancement of the kingdom, the building of the church of Jesus Christ in today's world will come to a halt. We need believers who will open up their lives to the Spirit of God and will fulfill their God-given design using the power of the Spirit of God and the gifts that He has created. And when we do that, we accomplish the mission. When we don't do that, we delay it. We hinder it. We slow it down. It comes to a halt. I don't know about you, but I want to see the kingdom of heaven advance. I want to see God's kingdom built in my family, in my life, in my city, in this church. And there are people in this place that need you to open up the gifts of the Spirit in your life and to use them to build up the kingdom of God in them. There are people in this world that are longing for someone to step in and to just fulfill the mission for which they were created. The gifts of the Spirit, they're diverse, but they're unified. I can't get the job done if I don't have them all. See, I've got screwdrivers and I've got pliers and these snips, and I've got these 10 snips here, and yeah, they kind of sort of accomplish that, but there's unique jobs for each one. They may look similar, and they may be kind of alike, but the reality is that they're all important. They're all necessary. And I'm here to tell you that you are necessary. Your openness to the Spirit of God, you're necessary in this church. Your willingness to be used by the Spirit of God and the gifts that He has put inside of you, it's necessary in this church. It's necessary in your family. It's necessary in the world. Because if the job is going to get done, it's going to take every single tool in the toolbox. None is more important than the other. None's more valuable than the other. There's so many different gifts, and there's so many different ways that God empowers us to build His kingdom, to accomplish His mission of going to the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And look at this. And lo, I am with you always. So that I'm going to empower you by my Holy Spirit to do these things. I'm going to give you the tools so that you can complete the mission and advance and build the kingdom of heaven in this world. Those tools that He's given us are given to us by the Spirit of God. They are gifts, and they work together for the glory of God and for the advancement of His kingdom. Now, let me just say, we can't say, well, I like that tool, but that tool's weird, and I don't want that tool, and I don't like people that use that tool. Y'all already know what I'm talking about. We don't get to say, I will take faith and I'll take mercy, but that tongue stuff freaks me out. We don't get to say, I'll take the gift of healing when my body's sick, but that prophetic word freaks me out. Now listen, what we have to recognize is that the giver of the gifts is one Spirit. It's one source of all of these things. And if He gives it, it's a good thing. And we may not understand it all the way, and we're going to get the opportunity to talk more about these. You may not understand it all the way, but I promise you this. We need every single tool in the toolbox operating at its full capacity, because the mission that we have to advance and to build the kingdom of God is too important for us to begin to say, I don't need that part of the body, and I don't need that part of the body, I don't need that strength, and I don't want that, and I'm okay with this, and I'm not okay with this. No, listen, God has created us all uniquely, and our posture should be, God, if you need to do something in me, through me, if you want to use me, if you've got something for me, my answer is yes, I will do it. I will allow you to supernaturally fill me and use me in this world, because my biggest goal is not my preferences, it's not my opinions, it's not my past, it's not my experiences. My biggest goal is not what I like or dislike or what I'm comfortable with or not comfortable with. My biggest goal is building and advancing the kingdom of heaven on earth right here in Fort Smith and around the world. When we all use the gifts of God on our lives, when we all open ourselves up, it says that then we are the body of Christ. We are the image of Jesus Christ in the world, full of power and compassion and mercy and hope, full of love. That's when we look like Jesus, is when we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, unified in our diversity. Lastly, I want to say this. The gifts of the Spirit are for the common good. Go back to verse 7. I told you we'd come back. I'll get a little bit of runway into it. 4, 5, 6, and 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Hear that. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, what for? For the common good. It's for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are not selfish. They're not selfish. See, that's why we don't seek after the gifts. Our goal is not the gifts. You hear me? Are you with me today? Our goal is not the gifts. The goal is the common good. It's the edification, the building up of the kingdom of heaven. The goal is not the gifts. Tell me how foolish I am if I get my hammer and then I just walk around with it. I got my hammer, praise the Lord. My fence is in disrepair, but by God, I got this hammer. Hadn't swung it yet. Hadn't put it to work. I got my hammer, though. Hang on. Now I look official. Got my hammer, right? Looks good on me, doesn't it? I look like a construction worker. Ain't no construction worker ever put these jeans on, I promise you that. I can make fun of myself. I hear it from y'all plenty. Y'all got me off track. Stop it. Got my hammer. This hammer ain't to make me look good. Just carrying it around doesn't make me look better. Doesn't make me a construction worker. Doesn't make me anything. The goal is not the hammer. The goal is the project that the hammer was built for. The goal is the need in the world that the hammer is built for. The goal is the lost people that are going to go to hell if we don't testify of Jesus Christ that the hammer is built for. The goal is those that are discouraged and hopeless and want to give up, that need someone to use the gift of the Spirit and use their life to testify of Jesus. And if all you do is walk around with your spiritual gifts in your holster so that you look more official and more holy, you've missed the whole point. The problem is that over the years, we've had a bunch of Christians that want to proclaim their gifts and display their gifts, and they're not at all concerned about or passionate about the advancement of the kingdom of God.
They want to propagate themselves and look more holy and look and all the attention be on them, when what they don't understand is that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the very beginning, Jesus said, this is the Spirit that will testify of me. This Spirit isn't about you. It's not about making you look more holy. It's not about making you look more religious. It's not about making you look like a more powerful Christian. This Spirit testifies of Jesus. And so if you're using a gift and you're carrying around a gift and it's all for you and it's all to make you look better, then you're missing the point. Go put your hammer back up. But if you hand it to somebody who will use it to build the kingdom, God sends somebody who will pick up the hammer, not for themselves, but that will be passionate about the lost. They'll be passionate about the church. That'll be passionate about seeing your kingdom built and advanced in this world. That's what the gifts are for. We don't just seek the gift. We need the gift so that we can accomplish the mission. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. Now let me say, in this place, my desire is that as the body of Christ, we will be unified in our diversity. That as unique as we are created in the physical, we'll also understand and discover and develop and deploy the gifts of the Spirit that God has uniquely gifted us with, and that we'll do so in unison and in harmony, and that we'll do so for the glory of God and not the glory of man. And as we do that, listen, let me just tell you this. Let me pause. Anytime something is done under the name of the Holy Spirit, or as it said that this is done under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it distracts people from Jesus, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus. So if we are used in the gifts of the Spirit and people walk away and they go, man, they are really, really great, then that's not the Holy Spirit. But if we allow Jesus to work through our life, we allow the Spirit of God to work through our lives, and the gifts of the Spirit to be opened up and used in our life, and people walk away and go, man, God is so good, then we will know that's the Holy Spirit at work in us. That's the Spirit of God at work in us. That's what we're after. God, not us. Not us. Your mission. Your kingdom. Your purpose through us. Will you stand to your feet all across the room today? I believe without a doubt that there are people in this room that have stiff-armed and suppressed the work of the Holy Spirit in their life because of lack of understanding or fear. Maybe it's insecurity. And I just want to encourage you today. Your willingness to be used by the Spirit is mission critical. It's mission critical. Church, our openness to the Spirit of God working in us and through us is mission critical. Your families, the people that you interact with, your life, the people sitting up and down the road from you, they need you to be walking by the Spirit, to be obedient. They need you. They need you. It's mission critical. Father, don't let the work stop because we're not willing to say yes. God, don't let your kingdom advancement pause because of our minds and our thoughts and our doubts or fears. Holy Spirit, will you come? Come on, can you once again just invite him in? Just Holy Spirit, come. Lord, if you have gifts,
that you have placed in my life that you desire me to use in your kingdom, God, will you just give me the boldness to unwrap those and open them, open my heart. God, help me today to tune my ear to your voice, to live with a submitted yes to whatever your will is. Father, we need everyone in the diversity of what you've called us to, in the way that you've created us, to walk by your Spirit, to live by your Spirit, to be open to your Spirit, and to use the gifts that you have given us to build up the people around us, to build up your kingdom, to advance it, and to make your name great in the River Valley and around the world. Do it, Father. Do it through us. Say, Pastor Chad, what does this even look like? Let me just tell you, practically, some of you this week, you're going to be at the grocery store and you're going to walk past someone and the Holy Spirit, you know how your phone dings and it's like, it gives you the notification? Turn your notifications on this week. Not your phone. The Lord. Okay? Turn your notifications on. Because you're going to walk past someone in the grocery store this week. And the Holy Spirit's just going to go, ding. He's going to say, that person you just passed, they're having a really bad day. And I want them to know that I love them. And at that moment, you know what you do? You're obedient. And you say, hey, I don't even know you. And this may be crazy. And if you think I'm weird, that's okay. We'll probably never see each other again. If we pass each other a couple aisles over, just walk past. I'll pretend like we don't know each other. But as I walked past you, I just felt like maybe you could use an encouraging word. I just want to tell you, God loves you, and he's with you. And I don't know what you're going through, but maybe you just needed to hear that today. You know what that is? It's called a gift of exhortation. It's an encouragement. It's a building up. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're getting ready to hire someone for your job. And you really need a great employee. And you're trying to figure it out. And you just pray and say, Holy Spirit, will you just help me today? And in the middle of this interview, you get a ping. You open it. God, what do you got? God says, this is the one. You know what that's called? It's called discernment. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just open yourself up to that, you know what? He's going to use you and he'll help you in that. It's not weird. He's our helper. For some of you, you may be going through something you don't even know how to get out of. And you've tried to pray and it feels like your prayers don't even go past the ceiling. And you're going to say, Holy Spirit, I just need your help. I need you to pray for me. Something weird's going to happen. You're going to hear more about it next week from Pastor Darren. But you may even begin to pray in a language you don't understand. And guess what? You don't even need to understand it because it's not for you. It's for your spirit talking to the Lord. And you're going to receive a strength and you're going to get built up and encouraged. And you're going to go, man, I feel like I could take on hell with a water gun right now. You know what that's called? It's called the gift of tongues. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's for you. I just want you to know today, he has gifts for you. And practically, it's not that hard. All you have to do is live with an open ear. And I feel this, I felt this in my spirit. Can I be obedient to just a word, or like a prophetic word for you today? I felt this in the first service, and I just feel it just echoing in my heart today for you. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit for you today. This is how you're going to respond. Ready? With radical obedience. Radical obedience. When you feel the Holy Spirit, when you feel that ping, when you get that notification, and you're not sure what to do with it, this is what you do. You have radical obedience because it's going to make you so uncomfortable. And that's good because it doesn't depend on you. It's all about him. Have radical obedience to the Holy Spirit this week. Can I just pray for you? Father, thank you for these people. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and you have so much for them. God, don't let us continue to walk without the power and the gifts that you have for us. But instead, will you pour yourself out in our lives? God, will you give them the things that they need to continue the good work you've called them to? Bless them, Father. Encourage them, God. Strengthen them, Jesus. God, give them radical obedience. Tune their ear to your frequency. And let them obey when you speak. God, I can't wait to hear the testimonies of the things that are going to happen because they do this. You're so faithful and good. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks again for listening today. If you want to know more about our church, find us on social media or visit harvesttime.net. See you next time.